Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar. Turn data to dollars using data and AdWords to sell cars. My name is Eliana Raggio, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency, best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon responsive website platform. We've been awarded the Driving Sales Dealer Satisfaction Award for top-rated websites for an unprecedented seventh year in a row. We've also taken home the AWA Award for Best Websites 3 times. Plus, FCA and Ford have recently announced that we're now an approved vendor. Big things are always happening over here at Dealer On. We're still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Do you want to know more? Yeah, you do. You can check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And hey, are you losing valuable traffic because of a slow mobile site? It's estimated that well over half your website traffic is coming from mobile devices. Don't you worry, though. Dealer On's got your back. We are offering you a mobile site speed test for free. You can get yours after the webinar. Just fill out the survey, give us your URL, and let the magic begin. It's a great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. And Dealer On will be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Vegas at the end of March. If you're going to be there, ooh, you got to stop by booth 3493 Charlie. We have the best booth around. We're not just bringing the best digital marketing tools and some free booze to NADA this year. We're also bringing some serious knowledge. Our very own Greg Gifford will have 2 sessions on the Lego Masters Builder's Guide to Local SEO for Car Dealers. Figure out what's holding your dealership back from showing up in Google searches and in your area. We've also got Michael DeVito, our Chief Creative Officer. He's going to be talking about selling more cars with your mobile website strategy in Pave the Path to Purchase. Turn website traffic into sales. Can't wait to see you there. Don't forget, it's booth 3493 Charlie. And if you schedule your Dealer On NADA demo, you can score $100 for that. So for more information, go to DealerOn.com. We have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Will Perry as our presenter today. Will Perry is the president of Ascendant Media Group, a company that uses data-driven insights and expert analysis to provide dealer clients with the highest performing digital marketing strategies in the automotive industry. With over 15 years of experience developing technology solutions for numerous Fortune 100 companies, combined with his computer engineering and mathematics background, Will brings a fresh innovation to all digital advertising campaigns. He now closely works with dealerships, operations, and marketing to develop highly optimized search campaigns designed to capture maximum market share with increased profitability. Will has exceptional statistical and analytical skills and is widely considered the data authority in the automotive space. He can be reached at will@ascendantmg.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we're going to try to respond by email later today. Don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at Ascendant Media Group, they're giving away such a cool prize on today's webinar. One lucky webinar attendee is going to win a $250 Visa gift card. Oh, who couldn't use that? You have to be on the live broadcast to score this amazing giveaway, though. So stay tuned, and who knows, you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey, so fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want to hear what you have to say about today's show. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation, so please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio, and we look forward to seeing what you're saying. All right, everyone, let's get started. Let's learn how to turn data to dollars and using data and AdWords to sell cars. Will Perry, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
I love that you're here, sir. As we were covering before the show, Will and I have known each other since I started at Dealer On. So we're talking 6 years, and I finally got him on the Dealer On webinar series. So, Will, thank you so much for joining us today. And audience, you know what I always say about first-time webinar presenters. You got to ask the questions. Ask the tough questions and let us know what's happening at your dealership and how Will can help you turn data to dollars. All right, Will, I know you got a lot of great stuff to get to, so why don't you tell the audience the kinds of things that we're going to be learning about today.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk today, and we're going to cover a variety of topics, including understanding the data, creating accountability, what should you be doing, how to target keywords, talking about mobile strategies. Definitely want to talk about the giveaway, and then making sure we have time to answer all your questions.
That sounds great. Yes. So let's go, Will. Let's get to it.
All right. So it's not enough to say you want to use a data-driven approach. And people say they're going to use data all the time, but what is that really, what kind of data are they really going to use? Because not all data sources or metrics are created equal. Whether I use AdWords or analytics, registration data like Experian or Pulse, and finally DMS data, data can be manipulated to mean a lot of things, but truly understanding what each means is the key to understanding how to get better conversion. Truly the data that really matters, and I'll show you later, are conversion rate and impression share. These two metrics are really the key to understanding how well anything is performing. Providers standardize processes in order to create efficiency so they can manage vast amounts of accounts with as few people as possible. And dealers really dive into how things have been created and understand what the implications are. Do we have a clear understanding on how things are done from start to finish when it comes to creating, measuring, and understanding whether or not a campaign is successful? And on your calls monthly, they probably focus on telling you the catchy data points like cost per click and visitors, leads, but rarely focus on what the true cost per acquisition and impression share and how to maximize those things are. And are we really holding our providers accountable for knowing the market? Eliana, I think we're going to have our first poll question.
I think that's a great idea. All right, audience, first poll question out of three today is on the screen now. We'd love it if you would take part in this poll question and let us know what's happening at your dealership. So the first question is, how is your current provider creating the targeting for your paid search campaigns? Please select one of the following answers. Do you target based on radius to the dealership? I know a lot of dealerships do that. Do you use zip codes from your PMA? Is your approach a use of combination of zip codes and profitability? Do you have no idea because your vendor is doing it and he doesn't really tell you? Or, I'm not 100% sure we do any targeting on any of our campaigns. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. And, Will, I've had a request. Is there any way that you can get maybe a little closer to your microphone? You're coming through loud, but maybe some people are saying that it's not as clear as maybe it could be. So let's try that, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, is that better?
I don't know. Is it better? Just try and get closer to the microphone, and we'll see. Now, the votes are coming in fast, and oh, gosh, look at these answers. Wait till you see these answers, Will. Oh, my goodness. Audience, thank you so much for your answers to this first of three poll questions. We do appreciate it. Will, I'll let this go for a couple more seconds, and then we will close this poll and share the results. Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. So, and while we're doing that, you're going to move closer to the microphone. Because I'm still hearing. Yeah, they're saying you sound fuzzy. I don't know what that means. Now, you sound good to me, but some people are saying that you sound fuzzy, so hopefully we can get that fixed. All right, so let's close this poll and share the results. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. All right, let's see what you had to say. How's your current provider creating the targeting for your paid search campaigns? Well, the majority, 34% of today's audience, so over a third, say that they target based on radius to the dealership. I thought that was going to be the top answer. 14% of today's audience say they use zip codes from their PMA. Now, another large percentage of today's audience, 31%, says that their approach is a combination of zip codes and profitability. Only 7% of today's audience admitted that they have no idea because their vendor doesn't tell them. And 14% of today's audience say they're not even sure they do any targeting on their campaigns. Interesting. So, Will, I don't know. Is there a right answer to this? Does it change between dealerships? Should they be doing a certain kind of targeting for all of their paid search campaigns? Can you help us out on this?
There is a right answer, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And about 30% of people had it correct using a combination of zip codes and profitability. And so we're going to talk about why that's important here in a minute. Is the sound better? I've switched out of my headphones and onto the computer.
Oh, my gosh. Your sound is loads better. Yes, people are already writing in much better. Yes, you don't sound muffled anymore. Thank you so much, Will, for doing that.
All right. So basically, if you have any understanding on paid search, this graph's very familiar to you. And about 34% of people said that this is how their target or this is how their provider targets. Typically, most providers pull a radius on the store 10, 15, 20 miles. And either this can be a combination of radiuses, a radius of zip codes. This method's extremely flawed because it treats every customer the same. And how can we be more effective? By using DMS data to develop model-level strategies, measuring and analyzing market share and impacts around the store, and sales data and location of sales to help optimize for impression share and conversion rate. We'll discuss more of that in detail in a little bit. So first, we got to understand the market. If we just pull a radius or a radius of zip codes, what are the obstructions? What are the traffic choke points? How long does it take to get from point A to point B? What are the opportunities that we can learn from? And how can we best derive a strategy that is suited for the store and no one else? And we must keep testing ideas and changing them until we find a solution that works best. And even then, we still want to keep testing and changing ad copy, targeting, and looking for more opportunities as the market changes. As you can see, the same store as before, sales were spread out, but within 6 months of being on the new targeting methods, sales were much more concentrated around the dealership. And this has proven not only to increase PVRs, but it's increased sales effectiveness rates, PMA, and service, increased sales effectiveness in the PMA and service retention rates. To achieve these results, which we first took the last 12 months of sales and profitability data by zip code, front and back end gross, aggregated that by zip code, and then sorted the top 85% of those zips for profitability. In doing this, we also changed the keywords that we targeted based on data we've analyzed from Google Analytics, behavioral flow models, to keywords that generate leads and increase pages per visit at much higher rates, and we're going to talk about that in a few. But as you can see, using profitability as a guide with these methods has been a much better approach. Now, this is the actual data from that store. So on the left-hand side is the 90 days prior to implementation. On the right-hand side is the 6 months post-implementation. And what we can see on the left-hand side is that the light red areas are 25 to 50% sales effective, and the dark red is less than 25% sales effective. On the right-hand side, the dealership has changed considerably. The concentration of sales is significantly closer to the dealership. And now the white area means that the store is 75% or greater sales effective in the 6 months post-switch. This is actual sales data from Experian, with the blue being new car sales and the yellow being used car sales from the dealership that was converted to the new method and truly focusing on the tops that we're going to discuss here.
Wow, that's really different.
Yep.
Does it matter if they're closer to a metro area, or is this it would happen anywhere? I mean, this kind of approach.
This kind of approach happens almost everywhere, and it really is important to understand the market when you're talking about a metro versus a rural store. I have plenty of dealers that actually sell cars in two states away. They have delivery models. So it really depends on how you're going to target, knowing the market, knowing how long it takes to get places, knowing where the choke points in the market are. And there are just a bunch of different things that we need to understand. And every dealership is created differently. So we have to understand and truly get to know the dealership, not just use some canned approach. And that's why we get the results we do. So now that we talked about the targeting, we can discuss other parts of the plan. And the goal of every search plan should be focusing on conversion and to ensure that you have time to optimize for conversion. Understanding where we're successful and understanding the user's behavior once they get to the website using Google's behavioral flow models is crucial to achieve the highest performance. Make sure the page loads quickly. Many providers' load times exceed 9 seconds, and Google's data says it was 30% of those people due to slow load times. So if you spend $10,000 a month on paid search, according to Google, $3,000 of that would be wasted from people bouncing off your website. I cannot stress this enough. Making sure that there are one, maybe two conversion points in the VDP or SRP, keeping widgets off the pages to speed up load times, and the page is clear and easy to navigate once you get to the site. When you go to places like Amazon, it's very clear what we're getting, but many pages on the dealer's page are a hodgepodge of items and so many conversion points, that it decreases conversion. We don't want the user's experience to be poor because this will impact everything from conversion to how much we pay for particular keywords. I can't stress enough the importance of impression share as well. If we have to pay a little more for each click, then so be it. I'm less worried about cost per click than a strong impression share and high conversion rates because we're not concerned with cost per click as long as our cost per acquisition is low. And as we can see, the dealer and many dealers that I have around a 7% conversion rate. By doing things that we mentioned earlier, we'd have been able to increase the conversion rate to around 12%. That's an 80% increase. Impression share jumped significantly as well, but we're spending roughly the same amount of money because of how we target and the areas we target. We've been able to narrow the band and achieve a higher conversion impression share for roughly the same spend. Again, the same story, different market. We see the jump in conversion rate and impression share for the same money. So I think I'd like to poll the audience again.
I think that's a great idea. All right, audience. Second poll question is on the screen now. We want to know what's happening at your dealership, so your participation in our poll questions is always very appreciated. We want to know, how is the money currently allocated in your advertising campaigns? Please select one of the following answers. My provider allocates everyone based on the same standard. You adjust among brand, regional, shopper, and conquest campaigns. 40 to 60% are done on make model terms, and the rest are on brand and regional terms. You know what? We admit we're not consistent, and, you know, sometimes we try something different every time or just based on my boss's whim. Or, you know what? I really don't know how the money is being spent. That's fine, too. We just want to know what's happening at your dealership, so please select one of the following options. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. We already have a couple questions in from the audience for Q&A session, so if you haven't gotten in your question yet or you're thinking about asking a question, hey, get those questions in. We're looking forward to a nice, robust Q&A session with Will Perry from Ascendant Media Group, all right? So votes are coming in nice and fast. Audience, thank you so much. Let's give it a few more seconds, and then we'll close this poll and share the results. And, oh, my goodness, wait till you see these answers. Wow. All right, audience, you are amazing. Thank you so much for your votes. And, Will, if you're ready, answers are on the screen now. How's the money currently allocated in your campaigns at your dealership? No one picked the first answer, so that's good. 40% of today's audience, that's the majority, say they adjust among brand, regional, shopper, and conquest campaigns. Another 40% say that they spend around 40 to 60% on make model terms and the rest on brand and regional terms. Only 7% of today's audience admit that they're not consistent and they kind of try something new every time, see what works. And then 13% of today's audience admit they really don't know how the money is allocated for the different campaigns. Thank you for your honesty. All right, Will, I assume, well, I might be wrong, but I assume that there's a correct answer to this. Is there a right answer for how the money should be allocated in campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, it varies widely among, you know, rural and urban markets, but mostly the second answer is probably the better answer. Now, there may be some cases in, you know, with smaller budgets where we spend a little bit more on make model type terms. But as we're going to talk about here in a little bit, you know, we're going to focus on keywords. And many people have heard of Google's micro moments concept. And basically what Google has done is categorized the buying journey into five segments of keywords, like which car is best, keywords like Chevrolet, Chevrolet cars, is it right for me, can I afford it, Chevrolet Malibu price, Chevrolet Malibu lease. Am I getting a good deal? And finally, where should I buy, like Chevrolet dealers, Chevy dealer near me, my own brand name? And most advertising agencies buy keywords at every step within the journey, and it may be enticing to think you should, but our data and research shows that across hundreds of accounts that this is a very flawed and costly approach to take. We have sites buying keywords that drive leads and therefore increase sales. And based on Google's own data, 68% of all conversions happen in the branded and local searches, such as the where can I buy terms, as Google calls them. However, dealers only spend 20% of their ad budgets here based on Google's data. Also based on Google's data, dealers typically spend 80% of their budget on higher funnel terms, such as make model keywords that are not only expensive, but convert at much lower rates. Please note that I'm not saying that you shouldn't buy keywords like new Honda Accord, Honda Accord. What we are seeing is that you must prioritize and spend heavily on keywords that will convert at higher rates and thus generate more sales. By shifting budget from higher cost keywords such as make model terms into the where should I buy terms, not only do we decrease overall cost, but dramatically increase search impression share, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. We analyzed data from many dealers and were able to translate this into real terms, and what we see is that the spend for lower converting terms, such as which car is best and is it right for me, am I getting a good deal, were generating very little in terms of ROI because of the rate of conversion to spend. However, the higher converting terms were generating a significantly smaller portion of the budget while generating a majority of the ROI. Most agencies buy keywords at every step within the Micro Moments concept. And you would think about this, sorry, I had an extra slide in here. So when we think about buying keywords in the where should I buy stage, we multiply the effect of the ad dollars to increase impression share at the same time. When we see that 80% increase from 7 to 12%, what that does to our buying cycle, when we look at the dealer metrics for success and increase impression share, if we have a 75% impression share, that means for every 10 at-bats, I get 7.5 hits versus 5 hits and increased conversion rates. For every dealer we converted to the new method of targeting, we saw an average of 5 points increase or nearly 80% in the conversion rate from 7% to an average of 12%. Now I calculate conversions in phone calls and form submissions. And to put that into real dollars, the same $10,000 spent using the old targeting method, instead of generating $55,000 worth, now generates $99,000 worth of net. Combine that with shifting the bulk of our budgets from lower converting, higher cost campaigns, and we see dramatic results and lower overall costs for the dealers. Now we're going to talk about some very specialized concept that most providers rarely talk about or even have the capability to do because these options are not built into their platforms that interact with AdWords and not done in AdWords themselves. So, and finally, we're going to talk about the last poll question.
Yes, audience, last poll question is on the screen now. We want to know, how much time does your provider spend on each of your accounts every month? I am very interested to hear the answer to this one. Please select the following answers. Now, hopefully they tell you or they prove it. I'm not really sure, but we want to know how much time your provider spends on each of your accounts every month. Do you feel that they spend more than 2 hours? Somewhere between 1 and 2 hours, 30 minutes to an hour, less than 30 minutes, or no freaking clue. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close this poll and share the results. Don't forget to get your questions in for Will Perry for the Q&A session so we can find out how we can help you turn data to dollars. Now, the votes are coming in super fast. Audience, you are ready for this. This is awesome. Thank you so much. Okay, votes are still coming in. And Will, I'm curious, if your vendor doesn't tell you how much time they're spending on your accounts every month, is there a way to find it out? Or let's say they do tell you they spend more than 2 hours on your accounts every month. Is there a way to prove it?
Yeah, there is actually. And there's a way to find out, too. And so if you think about this, and we're going to talk about this here in a minute, especially once we see the results. But, you know, the average vendor has roughly 60 to 80 accounts per account rep. Mm-hmm. That means if they spent, let's just say they spent 2 hours and they had 70 accounts, that's 140 hours of the month gone. They haven't done anything except reporting and talking about what they're going to do with you. They only have 20 hours left of the month, you know, roughly 4 or 5 hours a week to manage 60 to 80 accounts. So, you know, it's critical that, you know, even with all the automation and all of the things that go on, mm-hmm. it's critical to understand how many accounts they're managing, how many accounts total per account rep they manage, and what the implications of that are.
Right.
Well, we're going to talk about.
Oh, I was going to say, Karen wrote in, she says, you know what, my vendor says they spend 3 to 4 hours every month on each account, but the results don't always seem to reflect that, so I'm not sure how legit their time is. So thank you so much for that, Karen. Okay, let's see what the audience had to say. Now, 24% of today's audience say their vendor says they spend more than 2 hours on their accounts every month. Great. 15% say it's between 1 and 2 hours. Only 9% say it's 30 minutes to an hour. No one said that it's less than 30 minutes, but the majority, holy moly, 53% of my very smart audience say they have no freaking clue how much time their provider spends on each of their accounts every month. Thank you so much, everyone, for filling out all of our poll questions. We really appreciate it. And Will, back to you.
So, again, just talking about this before we move on, if a vendor says they spend 4-plus hours on your account, ask them how many accounts they manage, because if they manage, you know, I don't know any vendors that don't manage more than 60 accounts. So that means they're spending 240 hours a month, which is way more than the work, you know. If we try to get them at 6 a.m., are they still there at 8 p.m.? Because that's how many hours of the day they would need to be there if they had that many accounts and spent that much time on them. And so it's critical to keep your accounts really low so that we're able to do certain things and really talk about how we target. And so understanding the market and having someone who can really understand how these things work. So in this scenario, which we call zip depletion, this is a scenario where we take, instead of conquesting a dealer and buying their name or other things, what we take is we take the PMA of the competing dealer. In this case, it's competitor T. And so we're competitor A, they're competitor T. We take their PMA. And in Google, zip depletion allows us to use a bid strategy called target out ranking share to specifically target the domain in which they're purchasing. So you say your domain A, their domain B. When domain B bids on the keyword term, Chevrolet dealers, I want to bid on that, and I want to beat them 100% of the time, and I'm willing to spend $20. If they want to show up, if they want to beat us, they have to spend $20.01 in order to do that. Most dealers will have a maximum of $50, sometimes $100 to spend in a particular campaign. So if they do that a couple times a day, they're going to quickly run out of money. So one of the things you can see is that after the first week of this test of us doing this, we had an 84% impression share. They had an 18.81% impression share. So they were going toe-to-toe with the budgets that we set in that particular zip code, but they were running out of money very quickly. By the end of the third week, we had 100% impression share in their market, and they had 62%. Notice on the average position that they are now off the page. They don't even show up for branded regional terms on the first four subsets in their own PMA because we had more money. And if they wanted to be there, they had to spend so much for that top of page click that it just burned them out of cash. Now, what this was able to do, in the last 7 years, this dealer has gone from selling 350 cars to more than 700 cars a month.
What?
In the last 7 years.
No. Really?
He's extremely aggressive. And so this model works in urban markets and rural markets. You just have to understand who your biggest competitors are, what they're doing. And they're not really going to understand how we're doing this because, you know, they'll understand that, you know, most dealers, when they look, they're conquesting me, they say, you know, they look at their brand campaign, and if you show up under their brand campaigns, it's like, okay, well, this dealer's buying my name. So we don't really go after that approach. We take the approach of buying the terms of our brand. So Toyota, you know, Chicago, Toyota, whatever, in their PMA. And so we're showing up in the regional campaigns, and most competitors are not looking at that. They're just seeing their impression share decrease rapidly. They're seeing their budgets deplete rapidly, and they don't really know what's happening.
Well, so you already have one fan right on here. George just wrote in and said, this is a genius way of spending, so dynamic. George, I have to agree. Yeah. With those kind of results, that's amazing.
So most people or most providers out there do not have the capability to use this bid strategy because to use this, A, it's not built into their model. B, they do not offer they want to offer their services to every dealer in the market. Well, I don't take every dealer in the market, and so you can't really do this. If you're going to take Ford dealer A, you can't take Ford dealer B and do the exact same strategy to them in the same market. So it's one of those trade-offs that you get when you have a bigger vendor versus a smaller vendor and the type of things that you can do and you can't do. Because this isn't in the platform that most people use instead of using AdWords. That makes sense? So the next thing that we really want to focus on is mobile. Because if we look at mobile and mobile search, something around 85% of all the conversions that are taking place in mobile. And you must have a well-defined mobile biz strategy that ensures that you're constantly in the top position, because mobile real estate is limited and critical that you show up here. So it's additionally, you must have mobile-specific ad copy and use price extensions with your best offers to maximize the real estate and provide the highest consumer experience possible. So if we talk about spending time on the account, what takes the most time? Well, it's generating new ad copy. It's pulling the price extensions from your specials, because these have to be manually input. So if you don't have the time to go in and pull them all, pull the price extensions, pull the service, you know, specials, all the different things to be able to add into this, because you can see down here at the very bottom, the next closest dealer is on the bottom of the page. They don't even show up in the page with me because we have all the options available. Click to call. We have click to message. So if you have a BDC, if you have a messaging app within your dealership, we want to make sure that, you know, you take advantage of that ad extension in mobile. And then finally, location extensions. All of these things are going to ensure that the user gets the best performance from your AdWords account possible. So a couple of resources that we like to use. Google Trends will allow us to understand basic trends that are going on in the market. So as we go into a market, we try to understand how our keywords are working. We want to see, okay, you know, what are people searching for? How are things being done within this market? Is it different within this market? You know, for example, if you're driving in the Northeast and you're going from Maine to Vermont, you know, you drive through areas in northern New Hampshire and Vermont that don't even get cell coverage. For hours of driving, you're in spotty cell coverage. So how does that impact what we want to do? Well, we want to target more desktop-based approach. We want to target a more mobile-based approach. We have to understand the terrain. We have to understand the market using research-driven search. So when we talk about understanding data and using data effectively, you know, data can be true or false or misleading, you know, all at the same time. It's all true, but I can make that data appear to be good or bad just based on how I present it. But truly understanding what we want to know in order to achieve the result we get is critical in developing these campaigns. And then finally, sort of the all-encompassing search engine land really gives a lot of resources when it comes to this. So some of the takeaways, you know, again, we talk about using data to make sure that it's not only relevant but meaningful, because there's a lot of relevant data out there, but is it really meaningful? Things like cost per click and things like that. Is it really meaningful that I spend $6 on a click if I'm converting at 7%, but if I can move my cost per click to $9 but I'm converting at 12% and my impression share goes up? So does it really matter what those look like when your true goals are conversions and impression share? And all customers are not created equal, and we should not be treating them as such. And then ensuring that your provider has the time to focus on the details. So that's the presentation. I'm going to turn it back over to Eliana, and hopefully we have a lot of good questions.
Thank you so much, Will. Fabulous presentation. And, I mean, those results. Wow. All right, audience, you got to have questions for my friend Will Perry about how to turn data into dollars and get more cars sold using data and AdWords. All right, so we're going to get to those questions in just a moment. Before we do, I got to answer Brittany's question. She says, will a slideshow be accessible after the webinar? Some of the slides are really good, but they're going too quick for me to take good notes. I got you covered. Why don't you look on your handouts section of the GoToWebinar interface, Brittany and everyone else out there. In the handouts section, it's kind of low on your GoToWebinar interface, you will find a handout of the slide deck. Yes, yes, yes. It's available right now for immediate download, and you have until the end of this broadcast to get your hand on that great slide deck with all that wonderful information. All right, Brittany, if you have any problems, and of course anyone else, if you have any problems downloading that handout, don't worry. Just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com, and I'll get you that handout for you. I'll get you that slide deck, all right? So thank you so much for that question, Brittany. All right, and let's get those questions in, and before we go any further, Let's turn on our webcams. We got some fun to take care of. Will, how are you? There you are, handsome.
I'm good.
Hey, all right. All right, so let's go forward one slide. It's that time, audience. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends over at Ascendant Media Group, ooh, they're giving away such a good prize. I really wish I could win this. Who couldn't use a $250 Visa gift card? Oh, yeah, one of you people is going to win this today. So good luck, everyone. We're going to ask, of course, if you are a vendor, we love having you on the Dealer On webinars, but we are going to ask you to kindly sit this out and let this prize go to a dealership person instead. All right, so thank you so much. And here we go, everyone. I hope you were paying attention. This is not an easy question, but if you know the answer, type it in really fast. Here we go. Good luck, everyone. Earlier in the presentation, Will was talking about the Google Micro Moments concept. According to Google research, what percentage of leads occur in the where should I buy bucket? According to Google research, what percentage of leads occur in the where should I buy bucket? Ooh, let's see. Oh. So the first person to write in the correct response of 68% is Karen Colantono from Flemington. Hey, Karen, aren't you glad you checked in with me beforehand? Thank you so much for everyone for playing along. Karen, you are going to be getting, yeah, right? Send in your all your information. You're going to be getting a $250 Visa gift card actually just shortly after this show. It's going to be emailed over to you from our friends over at Ascendant Media Group. So thank you so much for playing along, everyone. Congratulations to Karen. Now, let me tell you, all of you nice people out there in webinar land, I know, your name's not Karen. Mine's not either. So we didn't score this cool prize today. But you know what? We give away cool prizes every week on the Dealer On webinar. So you come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and that could be the day you win a great prize for today. Big congrats over to Karen over at Flemington Truck Country. And, of course, we got to thank Will Perry and our good friends over at Ascendant Media Group for a super cool giveaway today. So thank you so much for your generosity. All right, everyone, let's get to some questions. Will, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go to the next slide so people have your contact information. All right, first one came in nice and early from Michael. Michael says, do you trust Google's ability to identify where the user is located? Aren't mobile traffic locations flawed based on tower and hub locations? Will, I know your specialty is SEM, but do you know about this this question that Michael is asking, or do we need to ask a mobile person?
No, I do. And actually, so we've been working with Google to do some very interesting things like store visits and things like that. And so Google, you know, they own a lot of different technologies. They own technologies like Waze, like Maps. They, you know, they use a lot of GPS locations. They use triangulation. So you may have one cell tower, but they may use three cell towers to triangulate a position in the middle. And so in learning about how they operate store visits, you know, so for example, Google may allow you to see visitors that have come to your website who are now showing up in your store. And so you have to cross certain privacy thresholds and you have to have a bunch of different things happen. But they're able to determine people who physically walk into your store based on their mobile GPS and based on their location settings. So, you know, whether or not you're on one tower, it's irrelevant to them because they figured out a way to triangulate that position to locate those users.
I think that's a great answer. Michael, do you have a follow-up question? We would love to hear from you. Get that question in, all right? Just a handful more questions, and Will, then I'm going to let you go because I know you need more water, apparently. All right. Next one comes in from Ray. Ray says, how do you turn 4,000 clicks into leads? We're getting visitors, but just not the leads. How do we change this? Oh, okay, so this might have to do with conversion on your website. But Will, what advice do you have for Ray? What's he doing wrong?
Well, I think it's really, you really need to understand where you're getting the clicks because, you know, getting 4,000 clicks in a paid search campaign, that's great. You know, and so, you know, on average, maybe you're spending a lot of money. You're spending probably $15,000 to $18,000 a month. And so we want to understand, or maybe less than that, and maybe a lot of your clicks are coming through on display retargeting. We really want to understand, you know, the performance of your website, because if your page sites, if your page speed is slow, if there are many conversion points, if it's not very clear to dealers, like I see a lot of websites that have 6, 7, 8 conversion points on the BDP or the SRP. It's just too many, or there's colors going around. You know, when you go to Amazon and you're buying something, there's one conversion point. There's not colors flying all around. And Amazon's actually very good at this, and they split test their websites hundreds of times a day. And so by doing that, they're able to determine and make changes to the website, you know, using tools like Optimizely to give 50% of users one, 50% of users another, and then determine with data which performs better, which converts higher. And once they have a statistically significant sample, then you make the change. So to really answer your question, you first have to understand what kind of campaigns that you're spending the money on, you know, where those clicks are coming in through, and then what pages they're coming in. Because if they're make model clicks, for example, you know, they tend to convert at much lower rates than branded regional terms. And we know this based on using Google Analytics behavioral flow models. So inside analytics, you can see when a user comes in on page A, they move to page B and C and D, and we can see how they're flowing through the website. And a lot of things, when you see people coming in on things like, you know, Honda Accord, they tend to view one page and they're gone, or they view two pages. But when they come in on terms like Honda dealership near me, Honda dealership, you know, they tend to view 6, 7, 8 pages and convert at much higher rates. So again, it's really just breaking down and understanding what the what those clicks, where they're coming in on, and then really trying to figure out, you know, how to optimize once you see that.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Will. All right, Ray, if you have a follow-up question, let us know. Next question comes in from Chad. Chad says, should the optimization for most campaigns be going towards a VDP? What do you say, Will?
Well,
are there certain campaigns that, yes, they should definitely go to VDP, and others that should just go, you know, to the main inventory? Or where should it go?
Well, it really depends on the type of campaign. So a VDP is a very specific thing. And so while dropping people to a VDP can be good in certain types of campaigns, it's typically not going to be the highest converting thing, because you have to have the exact thing people are looking for. They use Google. It's almost like like they would use your website. They would search for a car. They go to your website. They hit back. They go to another website. They hit back. You see a lot of that happening. And so, you know, if you have the opportunity to create dynamic landing pages, so let's say, for example, they do a search for Honda Accords or used cars under $10,000 or, you know, Chevrolet dealers. So if we can create pages dynamically that will give a variety of things on the page. So used cars under $10,000. So if we can create a page that will dynamically generate all the cars, you know, under $10,000 on your website and have that user have a range of vehicles to pick from, you're going to have a much better opportunity to convert that person. If you have someone dropping to a VDP, it's very important that, you know, you think about things like Chevy Malibu lease or Chevy Malibu price. You can always drop a person to a dynamically created landing page that has like a Chevy Malibu, a lease offer, and then has inventory underneath it that's created on the fly. You're going to have a much better opportunity to convert that person when you give them a selection. You know, so again, it's not saying that VDPs aren't the place to drop the person, but from a conversion standpoint, the VDP better be clean. It better have one or two conversion points, and it shouldn't have all these crazy colors going on. It should be very clear to the user what they want to do.
Okay. In what instance would you use a VDP as the end result of a campaign? Because I can't actually think of an instance, so hopefully you can guide me on this. Because I loved your idea of the landing page. That sounds like a winner to me.
So in markets where you have a lot of spend, for example, over $10,000, over $15,000, over $5,000, you know, you typically want to spend more money up outside of the make model campaigns because you're going to generate a much higher rate of return. In more rural markets where your spend gets smaller, where you have a smaller population density, you still need to spend, you know, significant amounts of money into make model type pages. You know, to generate the traffic into your model pages, that you're not going to generate because you're not generating enough traffic in the brand regional campaigns, you know, that flow down to your model pages. So if you have, you know, rural markets where you're spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, you know, you're most likely going to be using a, you know, sizable portion of your budget in make model conversion points. And so VDPs and SRPs become very important to drop users to in that scenario, but you definitely want to make sure that the VDP experience and that your site load speed is as fast as possible. If it's mobile traffic, make sure that you have a click-to-call. Make sure that, you know, you're able to have a lead within one form. You don't want to be scrolling down the page trying to find a conversion point. You want to be able to do it right then and there.
Okay, we do have a – thank you very much for that answer, for my question. We do have a follow-up question from Chad, who asked that question. He says, have you tested a lead button on SRP items versus only on VDP, and does this help lead conversion typically?
So lead buttons on SRPs are very important. I would typically have maybe one, maybe two. You know, I wouldn't have some gigantic, you know, press here type button that is very distracting to the user. Something very clean, very generic, tends to convert at much higher rates. Greens, blues. You know, you don't really want a, you know, a bag of Skittles landing on the page. You know, reds and yellows, and you know, you see that a lot. I mean, you know, unfortunately, and it's very distracting to the user. They're trying to understand. They're trying to see that car, what you have to offer, and they're getting bombarded by lead conversion points. So, again, an SRP or a VDP should have two, no more than two conversion points on a single page. If it's mobile on an SRP or VDP, you should remove the chat box. You should remove the text box. You should have the click-to-call prevalent. Not only should you show the symbol for the call, but you should also display the number so that the person actually understands, hey, I can press this and call the dealership. And you shouldn't have all those things popping up on there, like chat with me, text with me, because on a mobile device, that's just distracting. It takes up too much real estate.
So, by the way, Chad wrote in, thank you. For my clarification, when you say two, no more than two calls to action, are there two specific ones that you think, that you feel are the best?
I mean, I think, you know, things like start deal now, request sale price, you know, check availability, things that are generating an action. You know, I personally like listing prices and discounts and things like that on SRPs, on VDPs, so the consumer knows what they get. Start deal now. Action terms that a user knows that, hey, I can do this action now. And on a mobile device, you should always have the option of click to call. You know, responsive platforms, when you move in and out of responsive mode, it should always move to click call. One thing to note too, check your provider. I know a lot of very large providers that on a mobile device, when you click the maps, it does not pop open the map device and pop open to, you know, the dealership. It pops open a page on the website. It's totally the wrong experience that you would not expect to get when you click maps. You expect to get, you know, the maps app loaded. If you check your browsers, I guarantee you that 50% of the websites out there that are not responsive, things like that, are going to take you to a page on the website that has a map of the dealership and does not open the map app.
That would be quite the annoyance. So, audience, if your website is doing that, please don't do that. Please fix that immediately, because that would, you would lose me right there as a consumer. All right. Thank you so much, Chad. Great questions. Next one comes in from Karen. Karen says, target bidding is new to me. So I want to know, Will, how often should you revise your bid targeting model?
So I typically, when I talk to dealers, I look at things, you know, I pull sales data every 6 months, look at profitability, how we're doing, how we're targeting, because in the very beginning, your sales data is going to be very spread out. And then as we concentrate more and more around the dealership, and as we conquest more and more dealers, you know, when I first start an account, it's get the basics done well. Let's make sure that Google allows us to spend the money and allows us to spend as cheaply as possible. So getting the basics done well, make sure we have the highest user experience. And then we start adding things like target outrank and share, things like that. And what we want to understand is that is this doing the job? Is it being effective? And by looking at things like the auction insights reports to determine what those things are doing inside the campaigns, what are they doing to your competitors? Are your competitors adjusting to that? You know, are they now spending more money so we have to drop more money? So it really depends on how they react. And I guarantee you that most providers are not taking the time to dig into that because they don't have the time. So they look at that and they go, okay, I'm going to adjust bids down so that I'm not paying as much, but that also lowers down the impression share. And so that is our ultimate goal, is the burn out of cash. And so if they do that on instinct, that's what we want to see.
All right, great answer. And by the way, Karen was today's winner, so she was very excited to ask you that question. All right, just a few more questions, and then we'll start closing out the show, all right, Will? Let's see. Next one comes in from George. This goes back one question. He says, what would be the best way to get a second opinion on the way our SRPs and VDPs look? Ours looks like a giant rainbow, and each VDP has at least 6 to 8 calls to action buttons on them, and they're all in different colors. Ouch. Will, who should George go to?
You know, I'd be happy to take a look at it. But, you know, one of the things that you really need to understand is that, you know, your website provider puts that out there. So going to your website provider and saying, hey, I don't think this is right. You know, one thing you might want to look at is a tool called Optimizely, Optimizely.com.
And
what that allows you to do is load that onto your website, change the colors, the configurations, all the things, and then it'll give the original website to 50% of the visitors and the new website to 50% of the visitors. Once it gets a statistically significant number, so if you have a website that produces 20, 30,000 visitors a month, you're going to get a result very quickly. If you have a website that produces 2, 3,000 visitors a month, it's going to take a little more time. But eventually, you're going to get a result based on data, based on actions that the consumers take, which one converts better. And you will know definitively, and this is what Amazon does religiously, hundreds of times a day. Like, you'll go to their website, and things will be laid out one way. You'll come back the next day, it's completely different. And it's because they're constantly split testing their website, and they make sure that, you know, that the consumers are getting the best experience. So a lot of times you have to take this into your own hands because, again, you know, these providers, you know, some of they do their best. I don't really like to talk bad about any of the providers. I think that you can make all of these websites perform better, you know, but it's ultimately up to you and finding experts in the space that can help you understand what really is important. And let's just take your paid search campaigns that are generating 30, 40% of your traffic. You still have 60% of your traffic that we're not necessarily paying for, but you're paying for their experience based off of the conversion rate. So as we optimize and get better at paid search, you're getting better at everything because the things that we talk about, the things that we do for search are going to enhance the entire experience across the website. So if you can reduce page load times or increase conversion rate, it's not just going to work for search, it's going to work for everything else. So you're going to get a lift, not just in what you're spending in search, but what you're spending or what you're doing elsewhere as well.
I love that. Okay, George wrote in again. He says, that sounds amazing. I'm definitely going to check out Optimizely as well. If you wouldn't mind, I'd love your opinion on our stuff. I know these things need to change, but I do not make the decisions, and the powers that be always want proof that what I'm suggesting will work before we actually try it. George, thank you so much. As you can see, his contact information is on the screen now. Don't hesitate to reach out to Will, all right? Okay.
Well, just one great thing when you talk about proof. It's, you know, when we talk about using data, we always want to show proof. And it's not just proof, but it's causality. These things cause this to do better. And when we talk about things like Optimizely, it's definitive. It is, this is the result this way, and this is the result that way. And you will not have any ambiguity in the data. One performed this way, the other performed that way.
Very interesting. Okay. George says, that is brilliant. Thank you so much. A follow-up statement came in from Vince. He says, I find that adjusting the web chat pop-up to appear 10 to 15 seconds after hitting the page or after 2 or 3 actions on our site yields much better results and more engagement. Very interesting, Vince. You must have done some testing on that, am I right? All right, last couple of questions, and then we'll close out the show. Will, you're doing great. My first-time webinar presenter. Okay, next question comes in from Tom. Tom says, what should I be telling my vendor to get better results? I feel like that's a whole nother webinar, but is there anything that, you know, because I also feel like sometimes people at dealerships, they're just kind of like poo-pooed by the vendors, and there's like, look, we're the experts, don't you worry about it, we got this. And then they really don't know what's going on, as proof by our poll questions today. So for Tom and other attendees, is there some magic words we can give to our providers that will make the results better?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily magic words that we can give to our providers. I think we have to educate ourselves as dealers and understand the business. So I come from a background, a dealership background, understanding what happens in the dealership. A lot of these people have never worked at a dealership, have never been in a dealership. They might have gone there to present this data, but they don't really know the ins and outs of how we're making money, where we're making money. You know, if I take a new car and then I'm running it through my shop, I'm getting off, you know. They don't look at advertising in the way that I look at advertising. I look at advertising in a way of net to gross, right? So they look at advertising, oh, you gave me $10,000, I delivered 5 cars, you made $10,000. But if I gave you $10,000, I gave you $10,000 net. I have to make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in gross dollars to replace what I gave you in net. And so, you know, our ROI is totally different from their ROI. I actually want to make money on this versus just breaking even. And a lot of their methodologies are flawed. So, you know, what we have to do to make our vendors better is we have to become better consumers. And by becoming better consumers, we have to offer to provide them things like sales data by zip code. We have to, you know, be willing to change things on our website. We have to be willing to stop putting all the crazy widgets on our website and stop, you know, you mentioned loading chat slowly. That's a much better approach than having that thing float down the screen or having video on your homepage that starts playing right when, you know, when that person comes on the page, because most of our traffic occurs between 8 and 5 and they're at work and they don't want video popping out, you know, when they're in a cube somewhere. There's a lot of things that we have to think about when it comes to the interactions of consumers on our website. And, yeah, our vendors can get better, but we as dealers can get better as well. They will only enhance that performance. And so making sure that we understand, you know, the positives and understanding what is going to be good, and then bringing in experts that understand, okay, this is proven facts that help make the website perform better.
Great answer. Tom, thank you so much. If you have a follow-up question, get it in fast. We're going to be closing out the show pretty soon. We only have one more question left, and that one comes in from Anne. Anne says, I'm not too happy with my current provider. When will I know if it's time to drop my SEM provider? So, again, I feel like you kind of answered it, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you're not happy, it's kind of like, you know, there's a reason why you're not happy, and, you know, the way I look at it is this way, okay? There are, you know, I consult with dealers. I have, you know, a media group and a consulting group. And I, you know, I was really, my whole process was born out of consulting with dealers. And I didn't used to do the media side of business. But then trying to understand what dealers want, you know, and then relating that to the provider became very difficult. So if you're already unhappy with a provider, you know, the likelihood that you're going to become happy and that you're going to maintain that happiness over time, yeah, they might do the things that's necessary to get you happy over time. But, again, you fall into that time sink. If I'm managing 60 to 80 accounts, you know, I'm going to stop getting the attention after I stop making noise. And that's just a simple fact, you know, of economies of scale. Well, a lot of the things that most providers do is generate things on automation. They generate, you know, build-outs. You look at a lot of the ads. The same Ford dealer in the same town could have the same ads because they're building them the same way if they're on the same providers. And that's just not going to work. And so, you know, I would say that, you know, being unhappy with a provider is there are some providers out there that will take that into heart and really listen and really make the changes that are necessary. But what I find is that, you know, in life, if you're unhappy with something, it's for a reason. And, you know, it's time to go find something that's going to make you happy.
Drop that zero and get yourself a hero. And thank you so much for the last question of the Dealer On webinar presentation today. Will, look at you. It took me 6 years to get you on the show, and you're a pro at this already. That was an awesome presentation. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You surprised yourself, right?
Absolutely.
I want to remind the audience that a link to download a copy of today's webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It was a good one. Today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours. All you have to do is go to dealeron.com/webinars to view our upcoming webinar schedule or access any of our past webinars too. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. Really short. It's only 4 questions. So fill it out. We're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want to know what you thought of today's presentation. And hey, are you losing valuable traffic because of a slow mobile site? It's estimated that well over half your website traffic is coming from mobile devices. Don't you worry, Dealeron's got your back. We are going to offer you a mobile site speed test for free. During that survey, all you have to do is say yes, give us your URL, and let the magic begin. It's a great way to see how your site stacks up to the competition. And Dealeron's going to be exhibiting and presenting at the upcoming NADA convention in Vegas. Oh, it's just coming up. It's like next week, isn't it, Will? You're going to be there, right?
Next week, yeah.
Next week, that's right. So if you're going to be there, stop by, see me and Will. We're going to be at the booth, 3493 Charlie. We got an open bar. Dealeron has a great booth. And we're not just bringing the best digital marketing tools and some free booze to NADA this year. We're bringing you some serious knowledge. Our very own Greg Gifford is going to have 2 sessions on the Lego Masters Builder's Guide to Local SEO for Car Dealers. This will help you figure out what's holding your dealership back from showing up in Google searches in your area. Also, Michael DeVito, our Chief Creative Officer, is going to be talking about selling more cars with your mobile website strategy in Pave the Path to Purchase. Turn website traffic into sales. Can't wait to see you there. Make sure you look me up. Remember, it's 3493 Charlie. And if you go to dealeron.com and schedule a Dealeron NADA demo, you're going to score yourself $100 in the process. That's too good to be true, right? And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar. The roadmap to awesome automotive SEO in 2018. That's right. To truly master SEO, you have to be skilled at both the technical and the creative components required to improve rankings, drive traffic, and increase visibility in search engines. Want to know exactly what to focus on to get awesome SEO in 2018? Then this is the webinar for you. Dealeron's very own SEO manager, Steve Shackelford, believes that every car dealer can increase their presence online. In this fascinating 1-hour webinar, he's going to share his roadmap to help you reach the SEO promised land. He'll also explain why such factors as entity strength, review signals, link signals, and holistic marketing efforts of the dealership matter more than ever. Additionally, Steve will be sharing insider information, superb strategies, proven pro tips, and anything else he can think of to put you on the path to automotive SEO awesomeness. Whether you're managing your own SEO efforts or are looking to evaluate the efforts and tactics of a current vendor, mark your calendar for this one. If you're ready to learn the roadmap to awesome automotive SEO in 2018, don't you dare miss this presentation. SEO glory awaits. Register now, and don't forget, Dealeron's weekly webinars are held Thursdays, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, well, hey, get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on all the automotive social networks. You can reach me anywhere online, or you know what? Just email me directly at Eliana@DealerOn.com. Thank you also very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care, everyone. Catch you on the flip side.